This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, thanks to the Ford Ranger Raptor. Back in stock and now available at your local Ford dealer. JB and Billy are taking a long, long weekend.
I feel real good, and I'll tell you why. I'm not in the same studio as Fat.
So we've dug through the archives and found some gold.
Did you contribute anything to the show?
Not a lot.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Willis, Shangri-La. We have the day off.
Jimmy boy, what's Shangri-La mean? But I don't think I've met a man who takes more days off than you.
Any mirrors at your joint?
Yes, I have. And I love what I see.
Oh, no.
And I also like what I see coming up.
Actually, me too. We've been joined by the great Rosie Walton shortly because I've got an issue that I like her to help me with.
Plus I see topics. Here, and we'll go back to our very first Guernsey Cash winner.
Nearly sent us broke.
Mm.
But next, a man who I've loved on TV and in the movies for years and years. Ari Gold in Entourage, it's Jeremy Piven.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. For more JB and Billy, download the listener app to hear the boys anywhere, anytime.
I feel good!
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. And earlier this year, we spoke to a star of film and TV. You'll know him from Heat, Rush Hour, and, of course, Entourage, and my favourite movie, Old School, the legendary Jeremy Piven.
Where do we start with you? You've had this extraordinary career. You've done so many amazing films, Heat with Pacino and De Niro.
Yeah.
Your resume is nuts. Do you ever sit quietly and think, bloody hell, I've done all this amazing stuff. It's incredible.
If I did, I would probably be healthy, but I'm very kind of ambitious and delusional, and I can't get enough. You know what? I'm going to Adelaide to shoot a movie, and then I'm going to come back here, and I've never been to Australia. So I got off the plane at 8:30, and then I started doing radio at 9:30. So you are all the first Australians I've ever met in my life.
Oh, no.
And, and Jim and I put on the roulettes. I don't know if they're the planes that flew over, but we put them on for you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, no.
You went out of your way. I appreciate it. Well done.
Jeremy, how long has the stand-up been going on? Because, as we say, you're very famous as an actor, TV, and big screen. Since when's the stand-up been a big thing for you?
Well, this is the crazy part is, you know, I've done 80 movies, and I'd done 40 movies before Entourage, and I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37 years old. And I said, there's nothing fresh about my face. I've been on stage since I was 8 years old, you know, doing comedy and improvising, and then I started Second City, which is... a comedy troupe, sketch comedy troupe in Chicago with a guy named Chris Farley you know, in the 90s. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing this forever. I've only been like doing proper stand-up on tour for 10 years, which may sound like a lot to someone, but anyone in the stand-up game would laugh in my face.
You do topical things or do you get someone out of the crowd? You know, those comics that go, what do you do, mate? Oh, I'm a baker. Oh, yeah, you must have plenty of dough. Or what do you, how do you,
you know what? I've got, you know,
use that.
Selfishly, I have enough material that I don't need to, like, you know, write. How long you guys know each other? Oh, did you meet on a dating app?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to be that guy.
Yeah.
But if you want to heckle me,
yes,
then I will happily engage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And people scream like, let's hug it out, bitch.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, Lloyd!
Yeah. And then I say, I'm sorry, sir, do you have Tourette's? Are you okay? And then they say things like, hey, can you call my wife a... And I say, no, sir, we're at a mall right now in front of a Cinnabon. I can't...
that is,
you know,
so funny.
Yeah, guys, they see me and they want to show me their inner Ari Gold.
Yeah.
You probably don't know this, that the character of Ari Gold has worked its way into the vernacular of nearly everyone I know, including the kids in our house. If something goes wrong, you just did it. They go, Lloyd!
Oh, no.
But not only that, what I love from my older two is they give it the, don't hide things from me, Yeah. I hide things from me, Ari. And then you just know the next line is the only two things I hide from you. And I just go, but hey, what's happening here? They're just quoting the most inappropriate things that one of the most inappropriate characters ever on television is famous for saying.
Well, I don't know if to be horrified or flattered. I mean, how old are your kids?
Well, they go from 30 down to 16.
Okay. So, yeah. I don't feel that bad. If they were 11, you know... It could be a bit awkward, yeah. But talk about awkward. To this day, I run lines with my mother. So everything I said is Ari Gold, I've said to my mother's face.
No.
And my character has said the craziest, and she never blinks. She's a pro. No. She's been my acting teacher since I was 8 years old.
And she's honest?
She's honest. She stays in the pocket. But she's such a pro that I could say, I don't know what I can say on this show.
Anything.
No. Anything?
Yeah, we'll believe
it. For instance, you'll believe it? Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, Lloyd, if you have so much in your eyes that you can't see what's right in front of your face, there better be a Scud missile heading towards us, Yoko, or I'll choke you out with a strap on. And she'd go,
What would Mum say?
Pretty good. Let's go again. Let's go again. And I need you to make, this.
Gotta love
it
you,
was
Mom.
Very general. Yeah. It was very general. Let's go again. You know what I need you to make specific? The strap on.
Oh.
It wasn't very specific. And so, that's my mom, and she knows that it's fiction. She knows that it's written. She's an artist. So people are like, how could you do that in front of your mom? Like, my mom has seen me. I've been at premieres with my mom where I did a movie called Very Bad Things, in which it got so bad at one point I had to take my mother and literally escort her into like the lobby because there's certain things that a mother shouldn't see a son do.
Yes.
And
what was it?
My character accidentally killed a hooker.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just don't think that Joyce Piven needs to see that. You know what I mean?
Joycey.
As we let you go, I want you to look down the barrel. I want you to think that I'm Babs, and I want you to give me the best cook that you gave Babs in the show that you had to say in front of your mum.
Oh, my God. Joyce. Wait, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
Poor old Joyce.
I think you said her...
Babs, you look great, except you're wearing 11 bras and some Spanx, and you're viciously mediocre. How about this? You're fired. You're fired.
Oh, look at him. He's off. Go.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Make sure the mics aren't ever turned on during songs.
Quite aware of that.
Otherwise, he might never work again.
Triple M.
Time to get the family involved in this magnificent radio show. When have you seen a half-wit at work? So I'll tell you what I was doing, Fat. In the off-season,
yes.
I went to Southland. I went to JB Hi-Fi down the bottom.
JB went to JB Hi-Fi.
I had to buy one of those Chromecast things that you can cast
up
on.
Did you say my name's JB?
So I'm standing there. No, I got it's a very easy thing. A packet just hanging off, so I just grabbed it.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm standing in the line.
In
and
your
there was
own
about
store?
Seven people in the line. And there's this bloke in front of me. And I looked at him and I thought, he's not right.
He's
something not right with this bloke. He's got a dingbat look about him. And then he had the... iPods in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the AirPods.
AirPods. You got AirPods in. So I'm thinking this is going to go well.
Yeah.
He gets to the front of the line.
Oh, no.
And he has to hand something back and get a refund and then change something over. So it was already going to be a complicated setup.
And?
Didn't take the AirPods out.
Oh, no. So he's...
15 minutes later, he's still trying to work it out with the poor girl behind the jump.
Yeah.
With stupid headphones on.
Do you say move on, mate?
I felt like saying to him, mate, take the half-wit things out of your ears so you can hear what this poor girl's trying to say.
That's rude.
So she can do the job she's there to do, which is sort your bloody purchase out.
Bloody rude, that, Jim.
Idiot.
It happens.
Well, of course it happens.
It's like the blokes, and girls, on speaker, on phone.
Yep.
When you're sitting there and we're here, you can hear your whole conversation. Oh, mate, and they're on
Why
speaker.
Why do they do that? Oh. And they hold the phone out to the side.
Oh, yeah.
What's that about?
Oh, they're dicks.
Well, this is what we're saying. So 133-533, when have you seen a dick? When have you seen a dingbat at work? That's the question we're asking.
Yes.
Now, Stevie's in Berwick. Hello, Stevie.
G'day, Jim. Fat, how are we?
Yeah, good, Stevie.
When have you seen a dingbat, Stevie? What happened?
Jim, I know exactly how you feel. I work with a dingbat every day.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
His name's Brendo.
What's he doing, Brendo?
He worked the whole day the other day with his shorts on inside out.
His shorts on inside out.
That's funny.
Come on, Brendo.
Like stay there, Stevie. I like that. Okay. Dave's in Bendigo, Bill.
He is. Hello, Dave.
How are you, gentlemen?
How's Dad?
Oh, yeah, living the dream.
Dad and Dave.
Dad and Dave.
When have you seen a dingbat?
Oh, we were doing a final clean on a job site. We had a young fella, the labourer. Me and the boss were bringing in some, you know, final fixings for door hinges and that.
Oh, yeah?
He's got the shop vac screaming away and he's got his Apple EarPods in. We watched him for about probably 3 or 4 minutes and then videoed him for 2. The actual hose wasn't connected to the vacuum.
Oh. Come on.
Don't joke.
What's his first name?
His first name, I probably won't put it on air, but we nicknamed him Dyson after that.
Dyson. Yeah, good work.
Yeah, and people drive with him in too, Bill.
I know.
And when you see poor driving, you get up next to him. And 9 times out of 10, they've got those EarPods in there. Stay there, Dave.
It's dangerous.
Andy and Nary Warren. Hello, Andrew.
JB and Fat, how are you?
Good, Andy.
When have you seen a dingbat, Andy?
Every time I go to pay for fuel and the one behind the jump, he's on the phone.
Which he shouldn't be ever. That does drive you mad, that.
It's rude and frustrating.
It is. Good.
Yes.
Stay there, Andrew.
In that order. No, that's fair
enough. In that order. Rude and frustrating. Mm. Stefan in Parkdale.
Stefan.
Hello, Stefan.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Stefan or Stefan?
Nah, Stefan. Yeah, cheers for the confirmation. I get Stefan all the time, which
all right.
I hate.
When have you seen a dingbat?
So I am the dingbat. Oh. This time, I was struggling to get tickets from Ticketmaster, I think it was, and I was on the phone to them, customer support.
Yep.
Wasn't getting the confirmation emails, and so I rang them up, and I was giving them a serve. I'm like, no, what's the go here? And we ended up working out that I didn't put in at hotmail.com. I put in at hotmail.cock.
Oh, no.
C-O-K instead of C-O-M. So when you read it back to me, I had nothing. I said, mate.
That's cock to me.
No, yes. It is, yeah. And it was to Stefan.
Stefan.
Righto, mate, stay there. Daryl's in Sydney. Hello, hello, Daryl.
Daryl.
G'day, Bill and JB.
How are you, Daryl?
Yeah, not too bad.
When have you seen a dingbat, Dazzler?
Yeah, at work. truckies. We had a truckie come in and didn't know how to actually open his curtains on his truck, didn't know how to close them up. We were actually wondering whether he knew how to get it into reverse and get the truck out of the place.
It wouldn't be hard to open or close the curtains.
That's what's getting a giggle.
I was out the back. Our forky was out there and scratching his head. Another truckie who was already parked in front of him had to actually come over and help him. It was crazy.
How do you open the
dingbat?
How would you open it? Just
They got straps and clips on the bottom of the straps on the curtains. Top. Yeah, exactly.
When I was driving the double bubble.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So I was thinking, Jim, and then I got your head together and the lovely Jillies. And Rosie Walton's the studio.
Superstar.
That tattoo she's got,
host.
What's that tattoo?
Hitting on my tats.
That's a dragon or something.
It is a dragon.
Rosie's had it for a long time.
I know she's been there as long as I've known her, actually.
Are you going to get it off or not?
Are you going to get it off?
Well, after the show.
Show's going brilliantly in the afternoons.
Thank you.
Good music.
Yes.
I like it.
Especially International Women's Day. You were loving that day. Very good.
When are Pearl Jam coming, please?
September.
Oh, nice.
I've got a ticket for you.
Oh, Bill, you've got to go and watch Pearl Jam.
Well,
unbelievable.
The Jammers?
We're actually going as a whole team.
Oh, good. I like it.
The whole team.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so people you've never met before. You get to.
So what do you mean, the Rush Hour team?
No. The other people that you wouldn't know anyone's name out there, Jim. It's going to be your worst nightmare.
You're coming too.
Yeah, team Fat will be there.
Marvel Stadium.
Yes, good.
I think I'll probably go there.
No.
jokes. Jokes, obviously.
Yeah.
Hose, I need to pick your brain on something. I'm not a great sleeper. And I don't know why. I haven't been for a long time. Bad back, I think, started it, and then it got into my head, and I don't sleep very well.
Oh, okay.
I know, and it really annoys me. Mm. But at the moment, what I'm doing, so I get to sleep comfortably enough if I go to sleep at – I'm a night owl. So if I go to sleep at 11:30, let's say, that's fine. I go to sleep pretty quickly.
Yep.
Midnight, whatever time it is.
What about if you have a drink? Sleep better or not?
Oh, get off to sleep better.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem I've got, Hose, is I wake up, like every night I wake up between 4:30 and 5:00, and then I'm wide awake till 6:30, 7:00.
Nothing worse.
It happens to me. And then when I hit 6:30, 7:00, I go back to sleep like it's the middle of the night till 9:30.
You're old, I think. Is that what the answer is? Yes. Don't you sleep less when you get the older you get?
But what I'm thinking is if you put those two blocks of sleep together, that's a normal amount of sleep. Mm. I've just got this huge, great big gap in the middle. So get up and have a water.
What do you do?
Then I have a wee.
Oh, good.
And then I lie back in bed and I'm literally wide awake. And then I start thinking about all the stuff that annoys me. And then I stay awake.
Oh, the roads.
It is. All the things that are shitting me.
The roads. I think of. The tunnel.
And then, exactly. And then I can't go back to sleep.
I'll tell you what, Jim. I reckon 40% of Australians can't sleep or don't sleep properly.
Well enough.
So if there's a doctor out there or a sleep person or whatever, don't you come up with something? Because it's a big worry. It's a big concern.
So here's the thing. And this is why I brought you in, Hose, because you, of course, you're a magnificent part of the fairer sex, is I say to Lisa when I'm wide awake at 4:35 in the morning, I say to her, I need a cuddle. Because if you give me a cuddle, then I'll go to sleep.
What does that mean?
What sort of cuddle?
You don't have to go straight to the stupid place.
No.
Just arms around, spoon.
You
cuddle.
Need to be comforted.
Yes. And she goes, this time of year, it's hot.
Too hot.
Go away.
That's what she says.
Yeah.
Too hot.
But Hose, I think she's got a responsibility to get me back to sleep with a cuddle.
I would get you Finnergan and tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
Finnergan's exactly. What kids have.
Yeah, but double dose or something.
You can't have a cuddle.
Yes, you can.
And spoon.
Well, no, because then I go straight to sleep.
Do you?
Do you wake her up to let her know that you can't sleep?
Or is she awake?
Or how does this happen?
No, she's asleep.
And you wake her up to go, I can't sleep.
I can't sleep.
Oh, well, don't do that. She's asleep.
No wonder you're not getting a cuddle.
Yeah. Hose.
You'll never get a cuddle again.
I brought you in here because I need you to explain to me how I can fix this problem. What would you do if you're... Not, I can't say better half. If your man woke you up at 4 a.m.
Well, he does.
For a cuddle.
Tell him to...
Well, that's basically what I'm getting. It's not helping.
I don't know what to do. You need to go to another room and leave Lisa to her sleep.
Right.
That's a good idea.
And just stop ruminating.
Have a sleeping room.
I've got to call my bedroom.
No, get out of the bed. Let her have her sleep and you have a sleep.
Go to the couch, watch some telly.
But then I feel like if I do that, I'm not going to get back to sleep again ever.
Well, go and talk to someone.
At 4 a.m. in my own house.
He reckons he can have a cuddle. A cuddle and a spoon.
Yeah, I do. And then as soon as that happens, I go straight back to sleep.
Guess where that leads. It only leads one way.
She goes to sleep and James is left frustrated again.
Oh, she haven't helped me one bit.
No, I know.
I'm glad I'm not tapping you on the shoulder. F*** off.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to a joint gym that was that small that I put my key in the front door and it opened the back door.
Oh, no.
Shebang. Yeah. Peter and Kill.
Shebang. Triple M. Rabbits, it is now time for this.
Think you know AFL Guernsey numbers?
I've never seen half of these Nipsies play football in my life.
Now's your chance to prove it. 10 names, 10 numbers, 10 grand.
That is the best prize ever.
It's the Rush Hour's Guernsey Cash.
Who have we got playing, Fat?
We've got Steve Alessio. Hello, Alessio. How are you?
Fat, how are you?
Good, buddy. What do you do, Alessio?
I'm a barista. I make coffee.
Whereabouts? Give it a plug.
Bourne North, old TJ comes in every Saturday as well, so ask him about it.
TJ?
Oh, the Chompers?
Chompers Jones.
He wouldn't want to pay. Icy or big white Chompers.
He wouldn't want to pay for it either.
I like it, Alessio. And what was the place called? We just didn't quite hear that.
Cafe Romeo.
Cafe Romeo. Oh. All right, now who do you like in the AFL?
I'm a Carlton supporter.
Oh,
so how are they going to go?
Hopefully one better this year, I reckon.
All right, nice. Now, these are the rules here from Rabbits.
30 seconds on the clock. Alessio will read out a current or former AFL player and their team. You need to tell us which number they wore for that team. Some players have worn multiple numbers for that club. We will accept either answer. You can pass, and we'll come back if there is time and you get all 10 correct. Ooh. You win $10,000, and your time does start as soon as JB finishes reading out the first player and their club.
Pace is what we need, Alessio. Pace.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Let's get started with Christian Petrarca, Melbourne.
Five.
Andrew Gaff, West Coast.
3.
Travis Boak, Port Adelaide.
10.
Rory Laird, Adelaide.
29.
Adam Cooney, Western Bulldogs.
17.
Michael Hurley, Essendon.
18.
Robert Harvey, St Kilda.
35.
Ty Kennelly, Sydney.
17.
Chance Bateman, Hawthorne.
10.
Oleg Markov, Collingwood.
37.
Oh.
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
I'm going early.
Oh my God!
I'm going early. He's got them all. Alessio, you beauty!
What the hell?
How did you do that?
Let's
that was
go.
That's a hard one, Alessio. Alessio.
Mate, I've waited my whole life for a segment like this, so it's about time.
So we got Petrarca 5, Gaff 3, Boak 10. He was 1 or 10. Rory Laird, 29. He was 29-46. Cooney, 17. Hurley, 18 or 22. Robert Harvey, 35 or 52. He had 35.
Ty Kennelly.
Yeah, 17. Chance Bateman, 10. And then the Markov at the end. I thought he won't get this. He'll get 9. And he said 37. And guess what? He wears 37. So, Jim.
Yeah.
Unless he has won $10,000.
$10,000.
What
the hell? Alessio,
what are you going to do with it, mate?
Say something.
Probably take my best mate to Ibiza for a week.
Oh, Ibiza, that's a good answer.
It's good. Buy your own by you.
Buy your own coffee shop. That is unbelievable.
You sell it off and go for a year.
How long was to go? It wasn't long to go.
No, that would have been 3 seconds, I reckon.
That is all time, Alessio. You are 10 grand richer.
Thanks, boys.
Hey, well done. That is the first time it's gone off.
And bloody good, too, he was.
Can we... Is it on tomorrow, Jim?
Because
we didn't think it might go off.
No, we thought...
Ungen well, organised it. He was happy with himself. Thought it was going to last forever. Let's check, Ungen. We got any money left?
There's no cash here.
Oh, no.
Here, there's no cash.
Oh, no.
He started
cash,
well.
No.
He started really well, didn't he?
He got off to a flyer.
Harvey.
We've got stunned faces looking at through the
glass. We're all stunned because we thought, hang on... We've got this for 6 months.
Exactly.
No one will possibly win it.
Get it.
It's lasted 3
It'll
days.
Build.
You know, it was a good one. Chance Bateman, too.
Yes,
10. That was a
10.
Good get.
Oh, bloody. They built 10K.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy for Alessio. We're really happy.
We haven't got the segment sponsored yet. No, so that's coming out of your wage, Fat.
No, well, I don't get paid 10 grand.
Anyway.
We move on.
Cheezel?
Anyone want to donate?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
She pulls out a rectal thermometer.
I beg your pardon? I'd packed up my stuff.
JB and Billy are taking a long, long weekend.
I feel real good, and I'll tell you why. I'm not in the same studio as Fat.
So we've dug through the archives and found some gold.
Did you contribute anything to the show?
Not a lot.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Jimmy boy, in this hour I've found a survey, and I think you will find it very, very interesting.
Always concerns me when you start being coy, Fat. But also this hour we speak to Gold Coast superstar... Matt Rowe!
Plus, I have found one of the funniest Fruity Friday jokes from this year.
And an idiot song that has a Formula One theme to it. But next, former Blue, now a Saint, Liam Stocker, joins us in studio.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. For more JB and Billy, download the listener app to hear the boys anywhere, anytime.
I feel good!
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, and now we're joined by former Blue, now a Saint, Liam Stocker.
Tell us about the Saints, because obviously you're at the Blues for a fair slab of your career. Are you enjoying it there?
Yeah, having a blast. I think Ross has been, it's been well publicised how good Ross has been for the club, but even, you know, I spent a lot of time with Corey Enright and Jake Batchelor, and I've really enjoyed my time with them. I'll probably come out of myself a little bit more compared to when I was at Carlton as well, which was sort of a necessity of my career if I was going to get anything out of it. So, no, enjoying it a lot.
Were you scared or worried to meet Ross?
I was pretty terrified. I didn't have a contract when I met Ross.
Yes, and how'd the chat go?
It was pretty forthright. His attitude to me as a footballer was that you have a lot of talent, but you haven't done enough to get the best out of yourself, and I think that was a fair assessment. I'd had a lot of trouble with my mental health and just I don't know, being honest enough with it and not running away from it. But Ross is great with that. And he just said, look, if you've got the appetite, you'll be a good AFL footballer. And if you haven't, then you probably won't get a contract here.
So when you say mental health, is that around anxiety, performing? What was the specific?
Not really. It's more the clinical diagnosis. So I live with anxiety and depression, obsessive compulsive, and a few other bits and pieces that go along with that. But the crux of it is that, you know, I function at a high level of anxiety all the time. So
yeah, right.
A lot of my day-to-day process is, minimizing that, or, you know, spending time on the moment rather than worrying about things in the future. And that sort of turned my life around. Obviously, it was pretty well publicized when I came home in the COVID hub and everything that went with that. I had to do sort of 8 months of work on myself away from the football club first and slowly reintegrate. But just found it really difficult before then to understand what was going on in my head, and then did a lot of work to get to a point and a place where I am now, where I live with it. There's no cure for it or anything like that, but I live with it and I manage it really well, so it's far less of a factor these days.
You are on the field, you're doing a great job. So what else, Liam Stocker, beside of being a very good footballer and playing very nice football for the Saints?
Podcasting.
What else is in your life? Podcasting?
Yeah, I've got plenty outside of footy. That was sort of a big part of coming back. If I was going to do it right, I wanted to enjoy my footy and I wanted it to be the really fun aspect of day-to-day living. So I run a podcast with two of my now really close mates called The Men of Words. So I guess the premise is we want to get people who are elite in their field to talk about their perspective on mental health or men's health or women's health, sort of whichever they've got the most experience in, really. So we've had some really, really good guests on lately, like Dan Gorringe, obviously talking about his career, but also his social media personality and what he looks to keep himself well. I think that's sort of... We're identifying a niche in the market at the moment where we're talking a lot about awareness, and I think everyone's pretty aware of mental health these days and how it does affect particularly the younger generation.
Yes.
But I guess our focus area now is, right, well, everyone's aware that's a problem. Let's put some meaningful tips out there to help people deal with those kind of things and sort of provide people a pathway to look for meaningful help rather than, I'm aware this is a problem now, but I don't know what to do. And I guess at the moment we're really struggling for psychologist availability. A lot of places are at a 12-week waiting time, which is sometimes too long. And I think at the moment we're at, 9 suicides a day. So it's a pretty ridiculous number and it's only going up. Trying to make our little difference in that. And then I also work with another company called Outside the Locker Room. So we deliver pretty functional education on mental health to school groups and sporting clubs, particularly local sporting clubs. We like to factor in sort of the relationship across, many, many years so that we can keep on top of things. And they run really, really smooth programs, in my opinion, anyway. I've worked with a few. I worked with Beyond Blue for a couple of years as well. Really smooth programs that aim at, again, much less the awareness piece and much more about, furthering their education and making people much more resilient, but also much more aware of what's actually available today.
That's amazing. Well, I think it's amazing, mate, because Fat and I are the same age. I was obviously a cricketer and he was a footballer. I think most of my time of playing cricket at first class level, the fear of failure drove pretty much every action.
Yeah.
And so it followed you around the whole time.
Mm.
Even driving to the ground or driving home from training, you're just terrified of failing.
Yes.
So therefore it drove you to work hard and try and succeed. But I also look back and think it took a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's
if I wasn't scared of failing, I would have enjoyed playing cricket so much more.
You still got to have fun, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the aspect I lost in my first 4 years. And a big reason of why I wanted to retire after that first 4 years was that this wasn't the caper I thought I was getting into. Yeah. Obviously the circumstances around being the first ever live trade swap and stuff didn't help. But I think the regular commentary could have gone one or two ways for me. I could have, as every footballer talks about, like water off a duck's back. It certainly wasn't the case with me, even though I would have publicly said that. And then just really struggled to deal with the expectation I had of myself and then the expectation that a lot of people had of me, given how much we gave up to get me. Now I just function on, I guess I'll probably be on 1 to 2 year contracts the rest of my career. And I'm fairly comfortable with that because I'm not really letting anyone down. The only person I'm really letting down if I don't get the most out of myself is me. So. Yeah. Just really comfortable with that and far more comfortable with being a part of, what's hopefully a premiership regime.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bloody hope.
Imagine that. Imagine being a premiership player for St Kilda. won one in history.
150 years.
Yeah, you right. blokes left the I keys to the city.
You'd be a god. You'd be a god.
Oh, you wouldn't
have a doubt about it.
But I think even now, my mentality is, right, well, if I can be part of building the culture that gets us to a premiership, I don't necessarily have to be part of that premiership. Just knowing I went towards building something like that. That's sort of the cause I'd die for now.
Stock, I think you need to be a part of it, because I work with the bloke that played in 4 grand finals, lost every single one of them.
Right.
And, you know, he's a shell of a man.
No, I'm not. You bounce back. You bounce back, Liam. You've got to bounce back. But well done on the work you do, too. Yes. That is, because we don't hear enough about it. When they get in trouble, we hear about that, of course, Jim. But when they do good stuff, like, where can we find Liam, please, Raps?
It's called the Men of Words podcast. I guess where you get your podcasts. So Apple, Spotify.
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
Beautiful.
Liam, well done, mate, on everything.
Thanks for having us.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm not saying it's a fait accompli, but I'm saying that it's a fate.
Oh, wow.
And not complete Bill, yet.
So when I look at the running sheet and I see Kraft.
Yes.
I think to myself, Fat's been at work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Hose has come in because why have you invited Hose into this bit of craft?
Because I think she'll like this survey that's come across my desk.
Welcome, Hose.
Okay, hi.
Hello.
I'm a little bit nervous.
So what's the survey?
Well, it's the world's sexual habits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the naughty.
You're now glad you've been included.
See, Hose, this is why you're here.
Okay.
The naughtiest nation.
Oh.
The most promiscuous nation or country in the world, okay?
Yep.
Who, I'm going to ask you three learned people, who do you think is number one, the most promiscuous?
It's got to be like a South American country.
I was going to say like the French. Like
Chile. That's a good call.
French. Or Chile, Italian.
Argentina, somewhere
Brazil.
Like that. Yeah.
I'm going to go Sweden.
No, they didn't get a mention. Sweden.
Right.
No. Jim?
I said like Chile or Argentina or somewhere.
No,
like that.
They didn't get a mention either.
Brazil. I said Italy.
Italy's not a bad guess. I think they were down the bottom there too.
Okay.
Do you know the most promiscuous country in the world?
No.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul.
Really?
Constantinople.
Turkey. Turkey.
Really?
Turkey. A bit of Turkish delight.
This isn't a craft.
But the average Turk has slept with 14 different partners.
Wow.
14, Jim. That's interesting. Oh, what are you doing, Hose?
What are you doing, Hose?
And number two.
Right.
Who do you reckon's number two? A turkey on top. Right. Number two.
Right.
The final.
Australia.
Hey.
Wow.
Australia took second place on the Lusty Index. The average.
Lusty Index.
The average Aussie having sex with more than 13 people in their life.
So you just dived into the booth there with Maddie, and this is what you're coming up with.
Yes. Right. It's all put together in a matter of seconds.
Right.
13 in your life, Jim.
Right.
1 year.
No.
No. No way.
1992.
Actually, listen to how hard Hose is laughing. That's what I find interesting.
So I'd double it. That was a good year.
Oh, of course.
So Turkey, Australia, who do you think comes in at number three?
Right.
No.
Rusty.
New Zealand.
No.
New Zealand.
Number three.
Number three, New Zealand. And then Iceland. We got Iceland?
Yeah, we got
the hard one, Iceland.
Yeah, no, we got
Beer.
It.
There are four. Yeah, yeah. Ding dong, ding
dong. So that's number four.
And then number five is South Africa, which we didn't have time.
No, I had a look. There was Lucky Dubé and Dave Matthews from Dave Matthews Band was born in South Africa.
So but, about the 14 or 13 they've slept with over their life, which is okay, Jim, when you spread it out.
Right.
But the least promiscuous, China.
Really?
Three.
Yes.
And India, only three.
Well, I thought Iceland was sort of pretty close to... Yeah, it's in the same vicinity as...
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, Bill.
That's what we're talking about.
So, the New Zealanders.
Yes.
just that.
It said people. In this survey said people, Rams.
He's not cheering it.
You should be cheering this. I'm not cheering it with anybody.
How did he find his sheep? Delightful.
No, Bill.
Come on, Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Shut up, Hayes. You laughed at it. So, well done to Turkey. Australia second, New Zealand third.
So it's an actual race.
It's a race, yes. It's
all
a
right.
race.
We'll be better next year, Australia.
Yes, come on. Come on out there. Get a bit more promiscuous.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Plus, he went down to Antarctic.
Yes.
He's to
the Antarctic. I'm just going to write this whole break down. Bill.
Oh, well, he went down to the Antarctic.
Right.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, an idiot song and Billy's fruity Friday joke still to come. But now we're joined by Gold Coast superstar Bill.
Rally and I are mates, by the way. We sat at, didn't we? Sat at a function not long ago.
Yeah, we had a bit of dinner. We had a nice steak, didn't we?
We did. It was funny because it was late.
What's this for?
The Suns came to town.
Oh, yes.
And they met with all the different media outlets.
Yeah.
So we sat down at the Graham Hotel in Port Melbourne, which is beautiful, by the way.
Right,
and I came in late because I was at Buddy Tubbs golf day.
Well, you have
to. Brian missed it as well.
Yeah, Brian
was supposed to sit next to me.
Yeah, that's it. So I sat next to Brian.
Oh,
Rally.
Boy.
Brian. I don't know what happened to Brian.
He would have been on a podcast.
I was doing a panel for Tub. Anyway, I sat down. I'm listening to Dougie Evans. He finishes.
Yes.
And Rowler turns around to me and says, "How you going anyway?" And we had a bloody good night, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We had some good chats.
Noah Anderson was there. Lacocious was there.
Took? Where's Took?
Benny King was there. Took was down the other end.
He wanted to be down our end.
Exactly.
We were the Hollywood end of the table.
We get him on a bit and we like Took.
He's a good man.
Now, Rowler, I know I've been trying to bloody prize this vision out of Noah Anderson.
What's that?
And I can't. What am I talking about?
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the cricket down in Brunswick when we had a bit of a break, some of us boys, 4-day break.
Yeah.
This was talked about at the dinner, and yeah, we just played teams, a bit of backyard cricket. It was built up a bit, and I didn't perform, and it was a shocking day for me.
So what they did, they set the phone up,
yes,
to be the third umpire.
Oh, good.
So that was from behind.
So it's in the backyard.
Yeah.
We had the tripod set up behind, it was. I think it was 4v3. We were a team of three, and Terrible batting performance from myself, bowling as well. I think only took one wicket for the day, but yeah, it was a bit of vision, and it's not great looking back on it. It was bad sportsmanship.
Rowler,
it
is superb, is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know who the bowler was.
I think it was Lacocious.
He's got strangled down the leg side.
Yeah.
And
I never go out that way either.
He's still not happy with it.
Yeah. He got caught down the
Sounds
leg side.
Like
it was
Travis
a bloody
head.
Good catch,
Travis
too.
Head.
No gloves or anything. Yeah. He's caught down the leg side. So the boys are going off tap. They're running around.
Got him.
And Rowler's looking at the ground.
They're right in my face. They're up in my grill.
They were in his grill giving it to him. And after about 4 seconds...
Yeah.
He's got the wand just cleaned all three up.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I know it wasn't good, but it was. I was angry. I was very angry. I couldn't believe it.
I loved it.
Worst way to go.
We've all played backyard cricket, and that's part of the thing. You can't be dismissed without getting smashed.
Just shows you value your wicket. I like that. Now the other thing, speaking of vision,
yes,
Matt. The grass.
Yeah.
Now, what is going on there? Do you actually like grass? Do you eat grass? Or is it, what is that all about, please?
It was all about, feeling connected with the turf, a bit of taste, bit of feel, I'd go out there barefoot, feel the grass between my toes, have a bit in the mouth, look around, get a sense of the atmosphere. The taste was a bit of an old one, but I chew it a bit and I don't know. It was just something I was kind of trying and did throughout last year. Then the cameras got me, munching on it. So, that's all it was really.
Hey, why are you nicknamed Diesel at the club?
It's a funny one.
in pre-season this year, I was getting a new car delivered up. And I got my other one traded in.
Yes.
So I was waiting for my new one to get here. And in the meantime, we're partners with Sixt, who are these cars. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I said, would I be able to drive that around for a few weeks just while my new car's coming? Yep, no worries. Thanks, they were great about it. Anyway, I ended up needing to get some petrol about a week in.
Oh, no.
And I just assumed that, probably unleaded. so I chuck in about, a full tank's worth of unleaded.
Oh,
and I get it and I drive around, no worries. And then I'm actually picking up one of my sisters from the airport 1 week and the car starts going. And I go, oh, crap, what's happened here?
Oh.
And I have a good look at the keys and everything. I go, and I see it's diesel.
No.
I fully stuffed the engine, I think. And yeah. So that's why I'm called Diesel.
Oh, I love that. I've done that myself. The only difference between you and me is I actually didn't drive. I realised halfway through that I'd put the wrong petrol
you
in
idiot.
There.
It's not that hard.
Well, it's bloody expensive.
I would have loved to realise that.
Yeah. Well, they've got a big sticker saying diesel on the cap.
I think we're all aware of that.
Well, why would you do
not
it?
Not only was it a full tank because it was a big Land Cruiser, then I had to get it towed to Toyota and then they had to bloody pump it out. It was about $580 later, Rella.
Yeah, no, I was the same. I had to get the towing bike out as well. No.
Well done, Diesel.
All right, mate. We love everything you're doing. It's good to catch up and nice you didn't have a team meeting, so you could give us the full interview.
Yeah, that was nice. I think I redeemed myself. Thanks for having me, boys.
Well done.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You been to Athens?
Yeah, been there. Oh, I did a cashy there, Jim.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and the cash bounced. That's how bad they're going.
Oh, idiot time. Sometimes it's idiot file.
Yes.
Sometimes it's idiot song.
Yes.
The constant is the idiot.
Yeah.
And that's you. That's you. And today, Maddie has been hard at work in the booth. There he is. Because it's F1 week. Maddie Haywood, hit it.
Because there's a young Australian, Jim. He is an ace. His name is Oscar Piastri.
Don't say that.
Have another go.
Raps. Oscar Piastri.
That's better.
Piastri. There you go.
Oscar
Piastri. Oscar Bertacchi.
Bertacchi.
Oscar Piastri is promoted to a racer.
Almost said Pistorius.
Yeah, I know. Max Verstappen and...
Hang on.
What's his name?
Tell us where the Formula One is this weekend.
Aschberger's Zen.
See that? You got the ass from Haas? We shouldn't say that.
Can't be saying that. Our special guest.
Well, Jim, he got the ass from Haas.
That is Australia. That is Australia, the new one.
What about old Bernie? The Formula F1 owner. Bernie.
Formula.
Former F1 owner.
So Formula F1 owner.
Sebastian Vettel told boy's team not to pass. Our man does the right thing and gets boned by the German helmet. It's like a cyclist passing someone on the way into the Champs Elysees. That bloody place in Paris, Jim. I never wanna die.
He's got a cramp. Look at him. He's cramped.
He was going to sort his cramp out.
Oh, my God.
Marco Webber's leading the race in Poxy, Germany at the Nürnberg, at the Nürnberg.
That'd be the Nürnberg ring, Bill.
Which I was trying to say until you interrupted me, you little peanut.
Oh. Boned by the German helmet.
I think you wrote that.
I cannot believe. Like, we've been on air that long. There's stuff that's happened I've just forgotten.
Yeah.
But this race brings the best out in you, Fat.
It does. And Bakes. And I tell you what, if Oscar Piastri doesn't finish 1, 2 or 3, Jim, on the podium, he will be baked.
Well, no, I think he's a young man. We'll give him some time.
He knows about the bakes, and he was told he's going to get baked. So the Piastri might become a piesta, a pizza. It'll be baked. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, my God. He does it every time. He starts the next idiot file at the end of the last one every single week.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not Incy Wincy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's Hugey Woogey.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
You didn't need the prop.
That's a visual prop to a horrifically bad joke.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. We've listened back to every single one of Billy's jokes this year to find a good one.
Sorry for being hilarious.
And this is what we found.
I'm concerned.
On the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Billy's joke.
This is a nice little nectarine, Jim.
All right. What does that mean? Bit of fruit.
Bit of fruit, yeah. Yeah. A husband. They just got married, by the way, husband and wife, Jimmy boy. And the husband said to his wife, "How often do you like sex?" The wife said, "Infrequently." The husband said, is that one word or two?
Oh, my God.
Infrequently. Jim.
No, Bill. I don't need it explained.
It actually takes a while, but you get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Poor old Jace got no idea.
Poor old Jace has got to listen to that crap every bloody Friday. That's
like
why
that,
it's called
Jace?
Poor old Jace. Oh, Jace. There we are. Jace has given you the old.
Oh, get stuffed. He'd be out smoking. He wouldn't be there. Just sit back smoking the cherry, Jim.
Oh, my God.
There's another one, Dale. How'd that one go?
You certainly get it infrequently.
I do.
This has been the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Billy are back Monday from 4 p.m. But to hear more Rush Hour this weekend, download the Listener app and hear the show wherever you are and whenever you want.
I feel good!
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Thanks to the Ford Ranger Raptor. Back in stock and now available at your local Ford dealer. Test drive one today. Triple M.